everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. This is episode number 168. I totally screwed up my breathing there. Can you believe that's a thing? You actually have to, like, pay attention to that?
Anyway. I don't.
It's episode 168 for Friday, January 17th, 2014. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back from CES. Well, Jerry wasn't there. We got Richard Devine with us, though, from the UK.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening.
Will you please tell people that Alex does still exist and he's okay and we still love him?
Yes, he's... Well, I saw him on Tuesday. He does still exist. I think just maybe a bit of post-CES badness.
You guys worked your butts off in Vegas, so I was like, take the week off. Why are you here?
I've been ill all week. I need to do something. I'm sick of being asleep in bed, so...
Fair enough. Oh, and Andrew Martinick's a little under the weather, and he worked his butt off last week, too. So I got no problem with people taking the week off after CES, which I could tell you. I somehow, and I hate saying it out loud, but I somehow avoided the plague and have been just, you know, reasonably normal.
That's okay. MWC's coming.
I know, right? Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
What's up?
So, yeah, I mean, it was like, I can't believe that was only a week ago. And it was, man, you want to hear about another one of those flights home? You know, like red eyes, they're either really good and just easy and you sleep, or they're really just kind of crappy. And Vegas is only like, it's like 3 hours and maybe 20 minutes from Vegas to Atlanta. And we left it, I don't think we got out till a little after midnight. And but it was one of those internationally configured 767s, so you're all laid back. They were actually like massaging things in these seats. I'd never seen that before. Never had that. They're actually loud as hell and kind of annoying. But so it's like, oh, man, so comfortable, going to sleep. And then we leave late. And then the pilot wakes us up like halfway into it. And he's like, yeah, it's going to get a little bumpy. So everybody sit down. And then it's just like storming the whole rest of the way in. Totally wasted. Like not good wasted. Like some boy. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. At least it was a considerably shorter flight home than ours. So.
Yes. Yeah, you guys did Vegas to London, right?
Yeah, direct. About just over 9 hours on the way back. So that was a good one.
That's about that. I mean, that's the strange thing with the Great Circle, right? It's like that's what the Great Circle looks like. If you're watching the video, it's only like an extra 2 hours from say San Francisco to London than it is for me to go to Atlanta to London, or when I go to Paris. It's kind of bizarre. Math is cool. So what's going on? Should we maybe talk Android, because that's what we're actually here to do?
Let's do it.
No? You guys do it.
I'm shutting.
Where do you want to start? Should we start with what Alex and Richard did on Tuesday?
Why not? It's big for us. Not necessarily as exciting for everybody else, but
it was awesome because. Because we're in Vegas and everyone's working, and Alex is like, oh, damn it. We got to go to London on Tuesday.
Yep.
So we're taking the whole week off. So what did you guys go see? What did you finally get?
It was finally the Moto X. Finally. It's coming to Europe, UK, France, and Germany from February 1st. So it's, what, about 5-6 months-ish nearly on from being launched in the US. But, yeah, it's finally coming. It's still the same phone that everybody else has already seen, but we're getting it. And it has a British accent now with the Google, some of the Google Now stuff, so that's pretty
cool. Oh, does it really?
That was my question.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't really set it up because the obviously it was just too loud in the room, but when you run through some of the demo stuff on the, it tells you how to do it, that she's got a British accent, and okay, Google Now, navigate to Hyde Park in a British lady accent, so.
Phil, we gotta
make it say cheeky.
That.
Make it say cheeky.
I would, but it's not out till February 1st, so, you know, we...
we got to get that on the U.S. version. I want it to call me the weakest link instead of Jerry.
I mean, so it's the same phone. You don't get all the MotoMaker customization and stuff, but you do get a higher price.
Mm. Yes, we do. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of used to getting a higher price on everything anyway, so I'm not 100% surprised, but it's a little bit of a markup. I think, what is it? Is it $350 or something off contract in the States at the minute? And we're getting it for £380, which is quite a lot more.
That's like $2,000, I think.
current exchange rate, it might well be.
Seems like that's what it is every time I come over. Anyway.
It's a bit of a markup. I mean, on the one hand, it's still kind of, it's not as expensive as some other phones, but folks will always point to the Nexus 5 that's cheaper. But it's about the same sort of price as the LG G2 over here. I mean, you can get that a minute for about 350. So it's in the ballpark. It's not absurdly expensive, but it is still a little bit too much. We would have maybe hoped for it to come over here around sort of 300, especially given that it's not actually that new anymore.
Do you like it now that you finally get it? And more to the point, did Alex like it? Because he's been complaining forever.
I really do like it. The price is the only thing that puts me off actually going out and buying one. Otherwise, I would go out and buy one in a heartbeat. I'm not 100% sure what Alex thinks. I think the price again is probably the same. I think we were both kind of agreed that the price is it's potentially what'll stop it from doing well over here. People can pick it up on a reasonably cheap contract, but for those of us that like to just go and buy these things, it's probably too expensive at this time. And at this point in its life cycle, especially with stuff that we're going to see in February at Barcelona and what's going to come after that. And, it's a really, really nice phone. It won't stop being a really, really nice phone, but it's hard to look past how much it's going to cost you to get one at this point.
I'm going to have to agree. I'm probably the Moto X's biggest fan other than Guy Kawasaki. But I would not pay £380 for one in February of 2014. Sorry, Moto.
I don't think I'm going to disagree with you there. It's a lot of money. I don't know.
Well, I think what gets me is the price is on its downward slope in the U.S.
Right.
And that makes it look so much worse. If it was in the U.K. when it first released at £380, none of us would bat an eye because that's just normal. Absolutely. But now it's half price here in the States, and it's still full price in England, so it's a bit weird.
You want to answer a couple Q&A questions about it, actually. Because actually we have more Moto X news today. Ryan wants to know, any rumors of any new back materials for the Moto X other than wood? And the wood, they finally announced the other wood backs today. We've got teak, we've got ebony, and we have not rosewood, but walnut. And actually, now that I think about it, walnut is what the guy had. I had a meeting with a couple of Moto guys in Vegas at CS, and I think one of them had the walnut, and it didn't click at the time. And it was interesting, Callum from Droid Life put a post up this afternoon. Apparently, they're not necessarily, like the backs are made of wood, but the finish is done up to look like these different, so it's not actually walnut, or it's not necessarily actually ebony, which is kind of,
really. I have a bandsaw. Can we buy one, and I'll cut it in half, and we'll see what it's like.
No. You can't do that. Doggone. Remember what happened last time you sawed a phone open?
Actually, I do, and you're right. I still have the scars.
Oh, man. So we've got more wood. Other materials? No. But if you remember, way back when they first announced this, they did a Facebook poll, I guess. And they made a big deal about it in the briefings that, hey, here are all these other cool designs that we're talking about doing. Maybe we'll do them, maybe we won't. Let's see what people like. Have no idea how economical they would have been to do. It's just they mentioned them, they showed them off, they thought it might be cool. So are they going to do them? I have no idea at all. It would be cool if they did.
Motorola, I will pay $800 for a pewter-backed Moto X.
How heavy would that be?
I don't care. It would look so cool.
I just saw another one. Where'd it go? Kurt wants to know, are any of you guys going to be purchasing one of the new wooden finishes that were announced from Moto X today? I like the way that walnut looks. And the teak.
I'm a fan of that teak.
I don't know that I can justify buying another one.
Right, I shelled out $700 for the Dev Edition the day it came out. I don't think the wife is going to okay another purchase of the same phone.
You really just bought that on principle, though, right?
No, I bought that because I knew I would love it. I had the AT&T.
No. I mean the dev. Yeah.
Oh, the dev edition? No, I bought it because it's AT&T and T-Mobile. Oh, okay. And I wasn't sure about the T-Mobile one with LTE on both carriers, so I just jumped and spent the extra $150.
Yes, Peter, I think we all agree the Moto X is a little expensive in the UK.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't disagree with you there. I don't know. I mean, I think we still got some life left in the Moto X by far. I was thinking about it today as people were complaining about how much we write about the Moto X. And by the way, I went and looked that up, and we've written twice as much on the Galaxy S4, twice as much on the HTC One as we have the Moto X. So, nice try. But nope, not yet. Which is funny. I would have thought it might have been closer, but like literally when I look at the number of pages of stories, and I think it was 50 stories a page. There were like six each for the GS4 and the HTC One and like three for Moto X. So it's pretty cut and dry. What about Moto G? Let's talk about that. Google came out with a Google Play Edition. I've got it here. It's either this one or this one, and I really have no idea which, because they look exactly the same. The box is slightly different. It's a Google up here at the top for what that's worth. But why does this phone exist?
To make it easier to buy, can you buy internationally from Motorola's site? I know you can't from Google yet, but that's something that they possibly could do.
Well, you got to be able to, because Richard, you guys have been able to buy the Moto G, right?
Yeah, I mean, presume we can buy them from Motorola. It's available everywhere over here anyway. Every carrier, every high street store, you know, there's literally everybody picked it up. So, and we can't buy Google Play editions yet either. So,
when I said internationally, I was thinking more along the lines of like Africa, South America, Indonesia, where the Moto G would be a really popular device. You would think, you know, I don't know if Motorola serves those areas. I know Google doesn't with the Google Play Edition, but maybe they're gonna. I'm trying, dear Phil.
Yeah, I
think of a reason.
I mean, maybe just to do it because hey, we own the company. You're good, but then why not a Google Play Edition of the Moto X? I don't know.
Well, would you want to buy a Google Play Edition Moto X that doesn't
I don't want to buy a Google Play Edition Moto G either. It's just like it takes out all the cool stuff that I like about this phone.
Yep.
Because even without all the Moto X stuff, you still get some additional goodies in the standard G. You've got the trusted Bluetooth and the Motorola Assist and the Motorola camera app, and you lose all that. And it doesn't even. Mine just got the KitKat update a couple of days ago, and even the launcher is slightly different on the stock one. You get the clear bar at the top and bottom, so you don't get the black bars on the standard Moto G KitKat software, which I think looks better as well. So,
yep,
it's a strange one.
I just don't know. I mean, I have to think it's because somebody's like, "Holy crap, our own company doesn't have a Google Play Edition device. What should we do? Should we do the Moto X? Yeah, probably not. All right, we'll do the G. Fine, done."
They should have built a new phone for it.
Well, I mean, look, Moto's going to make new devices this year. Yeah. We're not done. They're not done at all. But
I just I want a Moto X with that processor configuration, completely stock. Take out all the stuff I love about the Moto X, but sell it for $249.
Yeah.
Through Google Play, which they can do with the Nexus phones. I would think they could afford to do the same. And that would be interesting to me.
But I tell you, for as much fun as we're having with Motorola right now, and the next year is going to be really telling. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what we get out of them and to see if they can really start to separate from, I mean, God, HTC has been all but stagnant for the back half of the year, right, as far as, like, cool stuff goes. You know, it's not to say they're not selling phones. I don't know how many, but I think it was really kind of obvious in the past couple weeks, very quietly, they give us this gold HTC One to look at, the Desire 300. By the way, the Desire 300 is kind of cool. Andrew was pleasantly surprised with that. And it's a, I mean, it's a low-end smartphone for China, but again, it's got that HTC design that's undeniable. Yep. Right? I mean, really nicely designed phone, and I played with it briefly. Not a bad phone by any stretch of the imagination. But it was in watching things editorial on other websites, it's like, oh, hey, look, here's another, I think Engadget saw, you know, got to play with the HTC One prototype, and we've seen those in the course of the frequencies thing I've done and just in talking to HTC, but it's like they're working to keep their name out there as much as they can right now, even though there's no new product yet. I know we're getting close, and I know we're starting to see all these rumors and parts are starting to leak out, and I know everybody's starting to get a little excited again, and that's good. That makes me happy. I still love HTC as a company. I still think they make really good stuff. But you can't help but think, like, with Samsung that's churning out product after product after device, after just everything, you know, even Sony, you know, puts more stuff out, you know, and I can't keep track of it all. And then Moto took over the back half of the year. So it's, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm ready to start talking about HTC again. And I'm really curious to see what they can do, to see if, you know, Moto overtakes their spot. Just in the mind share. I mean, do you guys see that happening at all?
Only with the nerds, Phil. I'm serious. You take the average, and I'm not trying to be disparaging in any way. You take the average soccer mom and her teenage children to the Verizon store. Pardon me. That HTC One just looks so beautiful. They're all going to look at it. Maybe they won't pick it, but they're going to look at it just because of how nice it looks. Maybe it's not the best phone. We thought it was for a while, but it's definitely one that people are going to look at. And that's hard to say the same about the Motorola phones.
Yeah.
I think they're nice, but they don't have any sense of, you know, unique style.
I agree, but I think a lot of what you're saying comes down to presentation in the stores, and that's
maybe
that comes into those backroom deals that the carriers and manufacturers have, and that are probably half boring, half exciting as hell. But you know, I go back to that story when I took my daughter into the AT&T store, and she's like, "Ooh, look, I can design my own phone," and she loved doing that. Can't do that with it. Like, so that's a mm-hmm. presentation thing that HTC doesn't have. Richard, do you get much of that over in the UK at all?
If not so much. I mean, we get the odd carrier exclusive, and like with things like the HTC One, there's a couple of retailers who've picked up like exclusives on the blue one or the black one or whatever, you know, the different colors. But generally, it's pretty much everybody gets all of the top end phones. So I mean, apart from the Moto X at the minute, that's exclusive to O2, but. Mm-hmm. Generally, I mean, with the HTC One, you can still go into pretty much any carrier store, and you can still see it on display, and it still looks as amazingly good as it did, you know, almost 12 months ago when it first appeared. So, you know, it's still there. And funnily enough, I think I'm actually seeing more people, like as time's gone on, more people actually using them in public as well. In terms of sort of Android phones around where I live, I see a lot more HTC ones, especially in the One Mini as well. That's not really hurt matters at all. Than things like the Galaxy S4, which is nice to see, because we know Samsung can just churn out all these, you know, massive amounts of devices, and it's good to see that people are actually at least buying the HTC stuff.
Darren wants to know, any rumors about Motorola doing a tablet? And yes, I've heard the rumors same as you. That's one of those things, like, I'm sure everybody is working on everything. You know, whether you actually see it, don't know. No idea.
Imagine a 7-inch Motorola tablet with OK Google Now in it and an IR blaster.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I have such a hard time with tablets right now, and I really shouldn't, because there are a lot of really good ones out there. I know we've talked about the LG one and how much I like that. If I liked a 10-inch tablet, you know, Samsung has really good stuff right now. But for the price, I just can't get away from the Nexus 7.
No.
I know intellectually I need to talk about these things more, but man, for that, I mean, that price, you just can't do much better. So I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they've got to have something to stand out. I mean, I think the Nexus 7, just because of the performance, and the quality and the price, when you combine those three things, I think that makes a great tablet. The Note 8. I love the Note 8 too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into a big tablet, but the stylus and what Samsung, excuse me, the S Pen, and what Samsung does with it, I think is amazing. And we're now at version 2, which is so much better than version 1, and I'm already thinking, man, 2015, let me see version 3.
Oh, and since I'm scrolling through and just saw it, this Thomas just asked, do you guys see any possibility in Moto X phablet? I hope not. I don't know. Yeah, I say that. Me personally, no, I don't care.
I don't like big phones.
No.
They're too big.
Come on. You love the Z Ultra and you know it.
Yeah. I'd have to have a little bag though for it. I can't hold that thing one handed. It's not that giant phone we saw in Vegas.
Right.
They're too big for me. They're too big. I like the smaller. And that's why I like the X, because you've still got a decent sized display, but it doesn't feel massive.
Right. Ryan also asks, ooh, I just hit the wrong one. Thoughts on the recent net neutrality news? It's not what I meant to click, but yeah. No, let's wait till the appeals are over. Where'd it go? He was asking about these earbuds I got in, because they're blue and they're kind of, I don't like that they're so blue. Where'd this question go? I can't answer it till I click on it. That's the rule of the Q&A. There they are. How sweet are those Soul Republic Jack's earbuds? That's what I have in. Here, you go see it. There's the side of my head. Right there. They sound surprisingly good. I took them with me to Vegas just to try, finally. I didn't even realize I had a Motorola sent some to a P.O. box. I don't use it anymore. And, yeah, for $39, they sound pretty good. These are very blue, though. I feel a little self-conscious wearing these out.
That's all they are is $39?
Yeah, that's the thing.
See, I was thinking they were like $79 or
mm-mm,
something.
Mm-mm. Huh. I do worry about, and a couple people mentioned in the comments, the little one-button click controller thing feels kind of cheap and could fall apart at any minute, and I completely agree with that. This one hasn't yet, but we'll see. But anyway, that was interesting, because I normally just ignore earbuds, and especially when they get packaged with phones, because it just feels like an upsell. And I've got, you know, perfectly good Bose earbuds over there that I use all the time, and Shure's for when I'm on a long flight, but... for $39, if I needed a pair of cheap headphones, I would absolutely recommend these. You want to change gears? We need to talk about Nest. And I'm kind of excited about this, too. Actually, can you look at my face? This is my excited face. Oh, stop it.
Nest still isn't a thing for us yet, so...
Jerry was trying to psych me up for the podcast. He's like, go out and do a shot. No, that's not what he said. Said, put on.
I should have, though.
I should. I got the place right across the street I can go to now. No, I'm kind of excited about Nest. Somebody else talk about it now. I'm tired of talking. Somebody else tell me what happened with Nest.
Google's going to buy them. $3.2 billion. I am pretty sure that Google's eye is on more than just a fancy thermometer.
Well, yeah,
and you know, they're excited about what can be done in the future, not just with the thermostat, but the ideas those guys may have, and the technology that they're already working and developing. You know, pair it up with some of the stuff Google's doing for a really bright future, which that was the co-founder of Nest pretty much had the same thing to say the week before Google announced they were buying them. So that was, I don't know if that was planned or if that was just a fortunate accident. But I think this is going to be pretty cool, man. There's a lot of privacy concerns, but I think it's going to be cool.
So I've been talking about getting one anyway, but now that Google bought them, it really gave me an excuse. And for work purposes, that means I can, you know, actually get away with it. I mean, look, we've all seen a Nest, right? If you've ever been at Best Buy, or I guess even some home improvement stores have them. I mean, it's a hell of a little product, right? That is as far as thermostats can be sexy,
right.
This is a sexy thermostat.
It doesn't do much more than existing thermostats that came before it.
Right.
So Honeywell and stuff. But my Honeywell programmable phone or thermostat looks like something a nerd would have.
Exactly. And that's what I had before. And it was reasonably new. I got one you could program, and I never got around to programming it. And it just, It's one of those products that makes you look at everything else and be like, "Why?" I hate to bring it back to like the iPhone, but like smartphones before the iPhone, and then you see an iPhone, it's just like everything else just kind of looks like crap. And that's not 100% true with smartphones, but you know, between Nest and just any other thermostat, and even the, I know there are some other nice ones that would work with Android and stuff, and they had one at Lowe's that I was looking at a couple weeks ago, but even that, it's just, it's night and day in the design, right? I mean, Richard. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful. You got to agree with me there.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things. You see it and you want it, but I mean, we can't have it. that's the biggest issue. I mean, I know there's people who have imported them and stuff, but I think like the way our heating systems work, it's a little, you have to start, when someone says you got to start hacking into your heating system, I get a little bit concerned, and that's not for me. Not when there's things like gas involved and but no, it's a absolutely gorgeous looking product, and it doesn't look out of place anywhere you would put it in the home. And I suppose that, you know, that's the best thing you can say about it. How much thought do you need to put into a thermostat design? But
I was floored just by how easy it was to put in as well. I mean, they include a screwdriver. What do you call the things you use to screw things in? Yeah, and, you know, they have a reversible screwdriver with flathead and Phillips head, which is also nicely designed, by the way. Doing the wires, you don't have to, you know, unscrew a tiny little screw and then shove the wire in there and then screw it back and hope you get it right. It's just, you know, little spring-loaded push-button things.
Then what's the screwdriver for?
The screwdriver is for taking your old one apart, and you can use it to actually screw it into the wall.
Okay.
You know, just very, very simple to do. Now everybody's setup's going to be a little different. I think mine was pretty simple. I had two wires, and I did do a little research because I was going to, you know, looking into getting one anyway. I had two wires that didn't quite match up the little map they have, but I Googled it real quick, and literally, you know, the first result is, hey, here's what this wire is, here's what you do with it. They've got internal jumpers that take care of some things. And then I think I set it all right up. Let's try that again. I think I set it all up right in the setup process. It's a little wonky, like using this dial, and then you push in a little bit to a select and you know, putting in your Wi-Fi password that way. So that was a little weird. It works. The app is really good. You can, in fact, did we remember to turn the air off when I left the house this morning? Or the heat, I guess. Or when my wife left. I'm logging in right now. Oh, see, look at that. Now, it was supposed to note that we aren't home. I wonder... It's still on right now, so I can turn it off from right here. But I wonder if it turned itself back on when my kid came home. If they came in. I don't know. I have to think about that. It's great. It works really, really well. I like it. I'm glad I finally tried it.
I'm more excited about what comes next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want the Nest 2 to be able to hook into Google Now and know that I'm 10 minutes from home and turn my damn heat on.
Right, and that's the thing. It's going to know that you're on your way home. It does have the auto away, so after it learns that. And it kicked in yesterday, so I have a feeling somebody might have gone in the house when my kid got home from school today, and that kicked it back on. But yeah, so yesterday it totally turned itself off, and then turned itself back on, I think, when we got home. I'm excited about this. I know everybody has their initial jokes and their freakouts, and, you know, you're going to have to join Google Plus to turn your heat on, and come on. It's funny for like 30 seconds, and then this is actually pretty cool. I'm excited about this.
Yep. I mean, I understand privacy concerns. The only thing that I agree with, and, you know, this is just me, is, yes, people bought a product from a company called Nest, and they paid a lot of money for it, and now they have Google in their living room instead.
Do they?
If there's a software update, it could enable things people don't want, because the Nest is still cloud-based, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, they've got Google in their living room.
Okay.
It's separate, like Motorola is separate, but if you don't think that Nest is going to start using more Google services for their cloud stuff, you're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to either that or Amazon, and I don't see them taking the Amazon route. That I can see people have a concern, but in my opinion, that concern is, you know, try to get your money back if it bothers you that much, and don't buy one if you haven't yet. But the rest, man, I do not care if Google knows what temperature my house is. I really don't care.
I mean, does it really make it any different than any other product?
Nope.
I don't think it does either. And you know what? Maybe that's the price you pay for advancing a little bit.
Sure. If you want a company to use a supercomputer in the cloud to help you manage your thermostat remotely through your phone, they're going to have to know a little bit about you, your phone, and your thermostat.
Yeah.
Did you ever think we'd say something like that 5 years ago?
My kids are going to be like, man, that's all you guys had? Well, yeah.
With their contact lenses that test their blood sugar levels.
How cool is that? So was it Thursday?
Wait.
Yeah.
Do you know that diabetics are told by their doctor not to wear contacts?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of when when I saw that. I'm like, well, that's hurdle number one to get around. Figure out why diabetics shouldn't wear contacts.
Probably a blood vessel thing.
I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of variables there. The contacts I wear, I sleep in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not diabetic, but I don't know. That's an interesting question. But, I mean, yeah, if you haven't seen, this is one of those Google X moonshot things where they came up with these contacts that can check your blood sugar through your eyeballs and has this tiny little microchip on them, and it's pretty awesome. I thought what was really interesting was you didn't see the same sort of joking on Twitter, and maybe people are just tired. But, you know, you didn't see the same sort of joking that we saw with Nest on Monday. God, that was just this week, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, wow. You know, you didn't see the same sort of joking. And then people kind of quickly forgot, even the joking I did see, they quickly forgot that Google said, we're not actually going to make these. That's right. Not why we did this. It's not going to be Google Contacts.
So I think that's something they should explore.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not for the glucose monitoring, but for a heads-up display in your contacts.
We'll segue off that in a second. But yeah, I mean, they're really trying to come up with this to work with other partners and put the technology out there. It's really interesting, and I can imagine anyone who has to prick their finger how many ever times a day. That's, you know, the idea, at the very least, even if it's still moonshotty, even if it's still way out there, the idea is really cool, I think.
It has to be good. Better than sticking something in your finger.
Absolutely, or anywhere else for that matter. Although, I mean, I was thinking back to the very first time I put contacts in, just remember how awful it was. And the contacts have come a long way since then. I was like 12, probably a little older than that, but not much. And, you know, it's come a long way. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited. I'm excited for Nest. I'm excited for whatever comes next. I'm excited that everybody involved so far says, look, Nest is still going to be Nest. It's still going to be its own company. We're still going to do what we do. And I think Google's done so far, at least from my outside perspective looking in, I think they've done pretty well with Motorola. I think it's worth giving these companies a chance. You know, when Yahoo buys Aviate and the first thing you see is, I'm uninstalling. Why? What's changed in the last 5 minutes?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I think Yahoo will make Aviate better the same way that Google made Motorola better in some ways, and the same way Apple just bought a big technology company last week, Apple will make it better. These companies, fanboyism aside, they're making their acquisitions better is good for their bottom line. That's what they do.
Well, Yahoo with the is it called News Digest? I think it's a U.S. only thing anyway, but took a quick look at that last week at CES. I mean, I wasn't expecting Yahoo to have a massive booth showing off, and you know, the Aviate, those guys were there, and the News Digest, which come out of the Sumly acquisition. It's a really, really, really nice app. It's not necessarily something I would use, but it's really, really well done. Mm-hmm.
I think Yahoo's somebody we all better pay close attention to for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yes, I think they're finally putting some pieces together and are serious about it. I'm a little mad I didn't go to the Marissa Mayer keynote. We had two people there. We didn't need that much more. But yeah, I'm impressed. It's a lot going on there. So Google Contacts, and that kind of segues us into Google Glass today. I guess it was yesterday. That woman out in San Diego had her little traffic hearing. She was the one who got pulled over for speeding, was wearing Google Glass, and the cop cited her for that too. And oh my God, Google Glass is illegal to drive, and blah, 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 blah. And I wrote something on Google Plus at the time that, you know, said, reading this California statute, yeah, I think there's a really good argument that would say that you shouldn't be wearing this while you're driving. And we've had, I think, a few really good posts on our Through Glass series. Jerry did one. Russell Holly did another good one about distractions, and so did Paul O'Brien. And ultimately, they have these traffic commissioners, so maybe not a full-fledged judge, you know, call them whatever you want, said, yeah, actually, this does violate, you know, this statute, I think, but nobody could prove that it was turned on. And I don't know if they meant, like, powered on, or if the screen was on, or probably the screen, but maybe not. But nobody proved it, so we're throwing that out. And, oh, by the way, couldn't prove that you were speeding, so we're throwing that out as well. Sounds to me, and I don't know this 100%, sounds to me like the cops just didn't show up for the hearing, which is not unheard of in traffic.
I've been lucky.
Yeah. If you contest it and the cops don't show up, guess what? It sounds like that's what happened. I mean, look, this is not the West Memphis 3. Nobody killed anybody here. This is traffic tickets we're talking about. We're not setting precedent here, I don't think. And in fact, the woman's lawyer said as much in the press conference. In fact, she recorded it using Google Glass, and that was interesting. You'd see her walking out and just starting the thing with it on. Fandroid was there, so you could see it from the other angle as well. Edgar was there. That was cool to see. But, yeah, I mean, even the lawyer said, look, you know, there's still legislative issues that have to happen here. You know, the law wasn't written with Google Glass in mind. There's still a lot of work to be done, and we're going to have more of these. So
yep.
I completely agree. It's not over, and I really hope we can all not freak out every time this happens.
Part of me wanted her to lose an appeal and make this a big enough deal that the legislation needs to be looked at now.
They're going to have to do it sooner rather than later. That's what I said. Like, you know, the tech moves fast. The legislation won't move anywhere near as fast. You know, it's... I'm back and forth.
Anybody that's had a chance to use Google Glass or uses them and has them, you know that there are some things that would be absolutely perfect for the car.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of stuff that should not be done for the car. And that stuff has to be sorted out on Google's end, and then the courts have to get involved to make sure that it's done satisfactorily. I don't want somebody hitting my neighbor's kid because they were playing with Tumblr on their glass. I just don't want that to happen.
Right.
But I want to be able to use heads-up display for navigation. I want both of those things to happen, and I have no control over it, so the people that do, I want them to get together and make it.
Why do I have two Richards here? What are you doing? Oh my God, there's three of them!
It's the British invasion.
Google just totally hates me. I don't know what it just keeps saying your broadcast. Every time I touch it, I'm just going to leave it. It says you're broadcasting and do something. And
what do you do? All right, now I'm down to three of you instead of four.
It's a fifth column. Keep coming.
Let's go through some more Q&A questions. Brian wants to know, will T-Mobile sell to Sprint? Don't know. I saw a headline coming out of CES at that press conference. And by the way, that was an awesome press conference. I mean, I know it's easy to kind of fall into the John Legere spell and do his very, you know, amicable, like, get well. That's probably not the right word for him.
Well, it depends on who you work for.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's fun to watch, and I think it's easy to get caught up in that hype of what he's saying. I still think it's very important to do the math when you're talking anything with carriers and plans and stuff. I saw a headline come out that said, you know, John Legere doesn't deny that Sprint is trying to buy T-Mobile. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, because I heard the question, and I heard him give a non-answer, which is all you're ever going to get out of a question like that. So, I don't know. Jason wants to know, what's your favorite Android tech from CES? I don't know, Richard. You answer that for me.
Oh, there was so much. Actually, kind of think one of the coolest things was the latest version of that Android oven that we saw first time last year.
I didn't get to see it.
They've got an updated version this year. It's like a range. So you've got the oven and you've got a range as well. And the Android stuff's still a bit kind of half baked, but it's cool. It's expensive, but you can set the oven to preheat from your phone, and that's kind of cool. Kind of ties in with like all the Nest stuff, you know, like the home automation and the connected home and the Internet of Things, and it's, you know, we see tablets every week.
Jerry's excited about something different. This.
Yes, it's step one to okay, Google, bake me a pie. That's when the day I can do that and it works, I'm done.
Keep hearing dings. Is Richard coming and going again? Dude.
Google really hates me.
Wow.
I'm just going to try and not touch anything.
Jesus, Ryan, that's a lot of questions, man. Back off. Somebody else. Where's Alex? Asked Chris. Does Mobile Nations want to limit the exposure of the Brits after the buzz of shows like Sherlock and Black Mirror? What is Black Mirror? I don't know that.
No idea.
No? Yes, we want to limit the exposure of Brits, which is why I see Richard twice here. Renee Ritchie wants to know, is the iMore for Android app a great Google Play app or the greatest Google Play app? I don't know. I kind of like the smartwatch fans app myself. If you haven't seen, yes, we've got, who do we have now? We have CrackBerry smartwatch fans, iMore, and us.
Us.
So I guess that's four. WP Central is coming shortly. As soon as I've got it, you know, we'll test it real quick and pretty much ready to go on that, I think. Everyone keeps asking about a unified app for all the sites. Yeah, at some point, I know that we definitely want to do one. I definitely have some stuff I want to get fixed in the AC app first, so hang tight.
That's right. We're Android, so we need to get ours fixed first.
At some point, yes, I would like to turn our attention back to our own app.
But they do look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing I fiddled with yesterday on my day off.
And it's really handy for commenting. I'll tell you the other thing I got to keep screaming for this is the proper Google sign-in. So it'll just use your account to sign into Passport. It's a little tricky because it's not just like one site and one app doing it. So when we do things like that, we have to...
Yeah, we have our own authentication.
Yeah.
We have to mate them.
Yeah, I mean, they should be able to do it. It's just a matter of getting the brain power on it. And
it'll make you come into Hangouts 5 and 6 times.
Stop it. What else? So we got some little inside info on Sprint Wi-Fi calling yesterday. Looks like, and assuming all this training is true and on the level and actually going to happen, the Galaxy S4 Mini, is that, that's out on Sprint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just got an update today, too. I haven't been able to track anything down to write anything.
No. Oh, okay.
Your Spark update is out there if you've got an S4 Mini.
Ah, and the Galaxy Mega. You know, it's a lot of what you'd expect. Actually, I've got the PDFs with all the bullet points. Let me just pull that up because that's easier for me to read.
Now, while you're pulling it up, I mean, the first thing I read is, oh, look, Wi-Fi calling on Samsung.
Have we not had that before?
Yes, but just two phones and they're only Samsung.
No.
I hate it when I see that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. For select Android 4.2 and up phones, supported phones announced at a later time by maintenance release or new phones. Used connected nearby Wi-Fi networks to make and receive voice calls. Customer benefit is that Wi-Fi calls do not use your Sprint voice minutes, which I thought were unlimited.
For most plans, I think that new I have to be very careful. Framily plan.
Ugh.
You can get.
I don't know. Worst name ever for anything ever.
It really. I put something on Google Plus today. Like, it almost sounds offensive to me, and I'm not one of those guys who walks around looking for things to be offended by. But, that's real close for me, especially when the commercial they put out is like a big white family and like their one black friend and that's it. I mean, if they had, I'm going to stop before I get myself in trouble with that, I think, but there's something about it.
Nothing offends me. You know that, but even I can see how this would be easily offensive.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Wi-Fi calling. Quality of service is not promised or guaranteed. not supported with mobile hotspots, so you have to have proper Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Sounds a lot like, you know, the way T-Mobile's first started out. Slow, just on a couple devices. Back then, I think it came out on BlackBerry before anything else of all things.
I used to have it over here on a BlackBerry as well years ago.
And then
I never used it, and I've got it on... Oh, it's on that GS4 I sent you, Jerry, because it was on the Samsung phone again, by the way. But like, why didn't it take off more? How come nobody... Because the carriers used to be every CTIA conference would go to, the carriers would stand up and say, there's a bandwidth crunch. There's a looming crisis. We all need to get everybody to use Wi-Fi. And Timo was the only one that had Wi-Fi calling.
I don't... It works. I've been using it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the basement here, I don't get very good cell service. But as long as I have a T-Mobile phone, I get perfect voice calls, and I'm already on Wi-Fi for data. Works really well. I'm going to assume that Sprint's will have some bugs initially, but they'll get them worked out, and it'll be the same way. It's just a VoIP connection using your existing Wi-Fi, and it'll be just like a Skype call is how it's going to sound.
I mean, I like the idea. As long as it works, awesome.
Yep. But... And, you know, Sprint has some issues with their network in some places that they're working on. This is a really good product at a really good time to bring out. That's why I want to see it on more than just two Samsung phones. Work out a universal app that they can plug in every phone and make a lot of people's lives easier.
Right. So there's that.
And Sprint's got the G-Flex coming.
G-Flex coming. Online, if you pre-order it, you should have it on or around the 31st. It'll be in stores a week later on the 7th. And nobody else has announced yet. I was kind of expecting AT&T or who's the other one? T-Mo to hop on board today. And be like, all right, it's not just Sprint, it's us too.
If I'm sure we will. We'll get some U.S. Review units. Can I drive over one of them with my truck?
No. No more driving over phones.
I'm not allowed to cut them in half. I'm not allowed to drive over them. You're the worst boss ever, Phil.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what you guys think of it.
Expensive. I don't know how much it is over there, but over here it's you want to talk about an expensive phone, and that's one of them.
Maybe like this time in 2 or 3 years, we'll all think curved phones are normal.
Well, I'm interested in it. I really like the Nexus S because of the slight curve on the screen, because I do talk a lot on the phone.
No, this is way more pronounced. Maybe you'll love this. This is way more pronounced. You know what else I'm excited about this week? And I want it now, but I don't want to use Canary enough full time to get it. It's Google Now on the desktop. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Should I see if I can put it on here? Will it work?
I wouldn't try installing screen Canary share while you're on a Hangout.
No. I've already got Canary on here.
Well, then yeah, do it.
I'm gonna try to screen share. Look, there it is. Let's see if I open it up. Will it work? There it is. Chrome notifications. How cool is that? Look at that. I have a package. Oh, wait, I already have that.
And it always shows BlackBerry stocks. I've noticed that.
It
does
always. It showed HTC for me the other day, which is kind of cool. All right, how do I turn this off?
Hit the button again. There you go.
All right, I'm back. I'm excited about that. That's really cool. I'm trying to think why I'm excited about it, though, because I already know what the weather's like. I know how to get to my office and home.
Yeah, some of the mobile stuff isn't going to be, and you pick the biggest two, the weather and navigation. Those aren't, but the things where it finds updates to news that you searched on, and the stock prices, package shipping, that's easier to do from a computer. So if you're at a computer, you can get that information. I think that's a good thing.
I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be really cool. And again, just kind of the beginning, right?
Yep. I just hope it's on Chrome OS. It's its own app, and I can just open it up as its own little window.
Yeah. Chris must know, do you think Google will do anything with Nest at Google I.O. or really keep them separate like they do with Motorola? I think it'd be really cool to see everybody at Google I.O. get a Nest.
Get hacking.
Huh?
Get developing for this, boys and girls.
Yeah, right. no, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see them be able to buy companies and keep them separate. Yep. You know, insofar as daily operations goes. That doesn't mean you can't, you know. And I have no problem with them using my data. And I also don't believe for a second when a company says, we're only going to use your data to make our product better, that means that they won't share it with the company that owns them. Now, I'd like to see some transparency there, I think. I'd like to see them say, all right, we're going to start feeding this back to the mothership. Here's what we're going to share, and here's why.
But the minute you start being transparent there, people flip out on the internet over your privacy policy. So I can see why companies aren't transparent.
Agreed. And you're also going to see class action lawsuits when that happens.
Yep.
Which is why they can't say anything and don't say anything. I get that, and it sucks. But, you know, in an ideal world, that's what I'd love to see happen.
Phil, talk about – there's another question there about the Nokia Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that so people can stop saying that word to me.
Oh, man. So that's that Nokia device that's running Android. You know, tell me what the next sentence is that's got a different UI on it. And, I mean, it looks like if and when this thing comes out, it's going to be a replacement for Asha.
Well, if anybody's ever used an Asha phone, they will not – well, especially if they're listening to this podcast, they're not going to be excited about it in any way. This is a – you know, the Asha – I mean, I brought an Asha phone back from Nokia World that I went to a few months ago. And
all right, so explain to us what it is.
It's – the simplest terms I can put it is kind of the next step up from feature phones. It's not quite a fully fledged smartphone, but you've got apps, you've got kind of, you know, you've got things like WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter and all those kind of things. So it's kind of like a baby smartphone almost. It's for emerging markets. The Asha line is targeted at you know, the developing markets because they're really, really cheap. Most of them have dual SIM capabilities, which is big in, you know, the likes of India and China and that. And even in Europe, they're just kind of, they've been washed away, especially with Nokia's own low-priced Lumia devices. So it's just, if it even ever gets released, it's really not as exciting as people are making it sound, or trying to make it sound.
Who are we going to make cover it, us or WPC?
Us.
Fine.
Yeah. Because it should be like the Kindle Fire though, right? I mean, it's supposedly a forked version of Android, so you'll still be able to run the same kind of apps, but how are you going to get them on there is.
I've got two thoughts on the thing. Number, if all the rumors are true and they do come out with this inexpensive, affordable Nokia Normandy that secretly runs Android but looks like WP7. You're better off buying a Lumia because you're going to have a WP7 clone or 8, whatever they're at now, that doesn't run near as well because it's not really Windows Phone. It's something pieced together. You know, Android is powerful, but they've already got Windows tweaked. Let's just buy the Lumia. Number two is if you can easily unlock the bootloader, you have a Nokia presumably cheap phone that somebody somewhere will build stock Android for. That could be interesting. Yeah. Other than that, you know, I'm going to wait till I see the thing. I don't have any other thoughts. Nokia makes really, I mean, the Asha, the Symbia S40 phones, they're really good phones for what they're supposed to do. You know, I hate to see them change away from what worked really well for a lot of people.
I think it's just weird for me to keep hearing people say forked Android like it's not Android, but it is. And that's just the misunderstanding of.
Yeah, it's. You've got two camps there about forking stuff. To me, if you take the code, you change it, don't push your changes back to everyone else, you fork the code. That doesn't mean that it's not what it was when you started, it's just been changed a little.
Right.
You know,
I mean, the big difference is has access to Google Play, doesn't have access to Google Play. For me, that's the big difference. So I don't know. I mean, I'm curious. I like the hell out of the 1020, and I still need to fix it so I can use it. I got a SIM card tray stuck in there. Man, that's the other thing I want to see happen in 2014 is no more whatever. Start at the bottom. Just nano SIMs all the way.
We can't get much smaller, right? So we might as well. Right.
Yeah, hopefully Europe will make it against the law not to use them like they did with chargers. That would be sweet.
Shinyi asks, Phil, you seem so high def. What's your skincare secret? You know my my new secret is? It's this. It's light on, light off. There's the office I mean, there's a light on over here, and I got to close the window because the sun just glares in here in the afternoon, and it's hot as hell. And then I got this big, giant light. Here, you want to see it? Ugh. Oh, my God. It's like
that's the Android-controlled oven.
That might be the most expensive thing in the room here. I got to get another one, I think, for another part of the room. But, yeah, that's my secret, man. I'm sticking to it. What else? Somebody else pick a question. Or I guess, am I the only one who can click on them?
I'm not sure. I don't randomly click things.
And given my issues, I'm not touching anything.
Oh, my God. Fine.
The whole thing might just right. disintegrate.
Oh, you know what? I got to find an email we got because there was a good email I wanted us to answer.
While you're looking, I'll pick a question, but I'm not going to click it. So I'm going to have to break your rule.
Okay, fine.
In 2014, what matters more, hardware specs or software features, user experience?
Software.
That's right. We talked about this on the last podcast before CES. We are at the point where hardware doesn't matter anymore. Man, the Moto G will do anything Android can throw at it. Period. You know, screen resolution aside, of course. But software, I really, really want Samsung to have this big meeting full of angry shouts and people shaking their fists saying, we are going to do this. We are going to make this better. We are going to become the leaders in software in the smartphone arena and then come out and do it because that would really change things. Others will follow their lead.
Ooh, actually, we got a few good email questions, so let me go through them. Jay writes, I'm new to Android, and I just picked up a Nexus 5. What's the best place to start and learn tips and tricks about Android to get the most out of the phone? Stop it. Stop it.
You can't have an AC app on iPhone, remember, so.
I know. That's the other thing everybody keeps asking, and we've tried. They keep rejecting any app that says Android Central in it, so. Actually, it's a good thing you asked, Jay, because just this week I saw a brand new thread go up in our forum saying, just get Android, here's where to start. And it's really good. Start there.
Yep, there's a handful of guys in there that know everything there is to know.
More than me.
Yeah, we have hundreds of Android phones, and they know them all inside and out.
In fact, start with them. Leave me alone. Bug those guys. Tony writes, I recently switched from an unlimited Sprint account to a family share AT&T account and now need to monitor data use. The data usage feature in the settings of my Nexus 5 differs from what AT&T says I'm using. How accurate is the Android data usage monitor? That would be an interesting test. I don't know.
We can do that. We can test that.
I think if I had to pick, I would use whatever AT&T says.
Well, yeah, and the Nexus will tell you that when you go in, or any Android phone, I think.
Right.
It'll tell you it may not match what your carrier says and to use their app instead.
Well, ultimately, that's what they're going to be paying. You know, that's what you're going to be paying them on, so.
Right. And even if the one on your Nexus is right and AT&T's is wrong, they're not going to care. They're going to charge you what they say.
Bingo. And James writes, I recall reading back in late 2013 that one of the new features Google added was the ability to sync notifications between your devices. As of now, I have a 2013 Nexus 7 and a Moto X, and my notifications don't sync. I have auto-sync enabled for my Google account on both devices, but I'm still having to manually dismiss them from both devices. Most of the notifications that I'm having to dismiss are my calendar reminders. Is there some method in getting this to work properly?
Use the Google Calendar on both devices. On your Moto X, you're not. You're using Motorola's calendar unless you go into
that. You sure?
Google Play, yes. If you, at least on mine,
hmm.
if you go to Google Play, you can install the Google Calendar and then kill the Motorola one, and you can have the same calendar app on both devices. Having said that, I don't know if the calendar notifications sync yet. The ability is there, but the developers need to integrate it into their app. I know Hangouts and Google Plus are two that definitely sync. As long as you have the latest version of both apps or the latest version of the app installed on both devices, you dismiss notifications on one and they're gone from the other. We've tested that with multiple phones.
Hey, you're right. It is Moto's calendar. Interesting.
I think it's Moto's calendar to work better with Assist.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a calendar appointment that has you marked as busy, it will mute your phone.
Makes sense.
And it's more than likely any syncing for notifications is not built into that.
Right.
So,
Michael wants to know, any thoughts on the new Samsung tablet software? What do you think its influence will be on the phone side of the business? I mean, we've already seen those leaks from EV Leaks about, you know, what new stuff will probably look like. I think it's really interesting. I think it's, on face value, a good idea. I mean, for me, TouchWiz was just stale. I never enjoyed it. I think seeing different things is always good. You can always put another launcher on there if you don't like it. Hopefully it will speed up the phone. That's been Samsung's kind of Achilles heel in the past version or two, right? I mean, Richard, you got to see it more than I did, I think.
Yeah, I kind of hope that the speed thing, it was a little bit laggy, but I mean, it's a trade show, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. But like for the big screen, just going on the design, I'm not really sure if I like it, but it does a lot more for the big screen environment than the previous version of TouchWiz. Yeah, they just threw the phone version basically on a big screen, and it was just the same blown up. So there is at least some definite thought now gone into the new tablet UI, and it makes proper use of the big screen. So it will be interesting to see if and how much of that they try and condense down and bring to the smaller screen. But it's good. I mean, it's a step in the right direction for Samsung at least, because I just can't stand TouchWiz at all. I just don't like it. But this, you know, looking at it, if you were looking at it for the first time, you wouldn't kind of, there's not as much feeling of any previous TouchWiz-ness or anything like that. It's good for tablets for sure. So we'll see where it goes.
I got a feeling they're going to do something different. It'll be interesting, especially. I would like to see them do something different, because they have all these features, and when you look at it in just a normal home screen and launcher kind of paradigm, that's when I start to be overwhelmed. I'm just like, it's too much. Just back up, stop. And I would really love to see them try to do something that kind of integrates it all a little better. I think it could be interesting. Or it could be horrible. I don't know. We'll see.
Be fun finding out.
I'll be disappointed if it's not just great.
So I think that's it. I think we're done. I think I'm done. You guys can keep podcasting, I guess, if you want.
It's late. Well, it's late for me.
It's late for you. Let's let Richard go to bed. If you want to, like Tony and Jay, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Google+, because we are all on Google+, of course. Some of us are on Twitter. Just search our names. It's easy that way. We're at Android Central. We're about to hit 500,000 people on there, by the way. Crazy. How crazy is that?
Well.
Wow.
To celebrate, y'all let me cut a phone in half.
No. Let me see how many we're up to. /Android Central. What are we up to? 446,000. Oh, I hadn't seen the new layout yet. 446,000, boys and girls. That's a lot of people. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. That is a website. You can click it. You can buy things. Or you can call 888-468-6158 and talk to people and buy things. Either way, go buy things. It helps us. And we need help.
Buy all of the things.
Buy all the things. My 3-year-old has started saying that. Daddy, I want waffles. All right, how many do you want? I want all the waffles.
Your 3-year-old sounds like the smartest person alive.
She really is. You talk to her all the time. You know this. Oh, buy all the
things. I kind of want all the waffles.
I know, right? Buy all the things. All right, that's it. I think we are out. We'll be back next week, right? We'll be back next week.
Somebody will.
Somebody will. Maybe it'll be Richard. Maybe it won't be me. We'll see. All right, that's it. Jerry, Richard, thank you guys.
Adios.
Everybody out there listening live, thank you guys. Say goodnight, Richard.
Good night, Richard.